I don't have what you would call an amazing revelation this morning, but I have something that I want to rehearse with you because I think it's really important that we do it. And I want to turn to a very important, very well-known scripture, and it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If we want, could turn there this morning. Most of us can probably quote it, but I want to look at it if we could. Hallelujah. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, just stop right there for a second. That sounds real good, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Sounds poetic. How many know this is one of the hardest lessons in the Christian life? Because there's another part to it. And lean not on your own understanding. Now, this requires something of us, and as humans in our own nature, it's going to fight us. You know, it's real easy to have the plan in your head of how things are going to go. How many had a plan last year of how things were going to go this year? Is it happening?
No.
I think God's trying to say something. Just, you know, maybe a little bit. Maybe it's going to take a pandemic for us to get a clue, but we had a plan. We had ideas of what we were going to do. It was going to be great. And then God says, wait a second, I have a plan. You want to hear my plan? Oh. Okay, maybe we weren't listening as well as we should have been. But it requires humility. It requires us to come to the realization that we don't know everything. Yep. What? You mean I don't know? The pastor doesn't? No. I don't know everything. God does. I don't. And depending on how well I'm listening to him, I may know something. I may know something. If we try and do the first part without using the second part, if we try and trust in God, but we're leaning on our own understanding, the only thing we're going to get out of this Christian walk is disappointment.
Amen.
Anybody feel any disappointment about how things went? I'm being honest. I was not looking for this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. How many woke up this morning and said, God, what should I have for breakfast? Oops, we messed up already. Step one, and we messed up. No, I'm just kidding. You don't necessarily have to do that for breakfast. You know, if you've got some options, take a good option. But you know what I mean. How many woke up and said, okay, God, my next steps, I can't be thinking about what I want. I got to be thinking about what you want.
Yeah.
This is also a very difficult one. And I want to turn to another scripture to kind of point this out. And it's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. My wife and I had a little chat yesterday. She saw me, and you know, I almost literally burst into tears when those guys were getting ready to leave, because I was just like, God, why? I see the things that are happening in this church, and I see things that aren't happening in this church, and yet you just put new gutters on the church. So I got a little emotional. How many know I'm not a big meanie? Most time. These girls are when they play Catan. Woo! Woo! They're brutal. Brutal. That's cool, though. It was fun. But if we look at verse 25 of chapter 6, therefore I say, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? How many know that no matter what we do, worrying, and it's not going to help the situation? In fact, it does quite the opposite. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is then thrown into the oven, basically here for just a momentary thing, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows what we need. But what does it say now? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of a sudden, that little verse that we like to quote, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I always was like, there's got to be more than just that verse. Well, then you go back to that part before it. We're always worrying, worrying, worrying about what we're going to do. But seek ye first. And then I love the next verse, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Basically, the day you're in has enough problems. Let's deal with that first. Now, am I saying we shouldn't be planning for the future? We shouldn't be thinking about tomorrow? No. I'm saying we shouldn't be worrying about it. Because let's be honest. When it said back in verse 5 or verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 3, I blanked. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. When it comes to that part, I think as Christians, we're doing really good in our walk if we can get through the whole day acknowledging him. Mm-hmm. Just the day. How many have ever done it successfully? We always seem to trip up a little bit, right? We get distracted. We get a little waylaid, things like that. But if we can get that, just that part down, where if every day we stop and say, okay, this is what God wants me to do, or God, what do you want me to do, and surrender that to him, all of a sudden, all that rest of that, it says it will be added. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In other words, he's going to make sure your needs are met. He's going to make sure the things you need are there. And he's going to make sure that when you need the power of God, you have it. Part of having the power of God is being where he needs you to be and being who he needs you to be. Whether it's a prayer warrior, whether it's a prophet, whether it's a helpmeet, whether it's somebody that's in administration, whether it's somebody preaching from a pulpit, God is going to give you the power if you are where you are needed the most. That's why we like to say this. I'd rather be in the worst war zone in the world and where God wants me to be than in the safest place in the world and not near anywhere near God. Because that's where we're going to find the true peace. That is where we're going to find peace. Another good verse. Put this in the holster. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. I think he understands what he's thinking. Thoughts of, help me out here, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. How many are starting to understand that when it says search for me, find me with all your heart, it's basically saying stop thinking about what you want to do and what you think is going to be the best, because I have better plans for you. Whatever it is you think is going to make you happy, whatever it is you think that's going to make you successful, whatever you think it is that's going to make you amazing, how much more can God make us amazing? He's God. But yet we have this tendency to want to put our own plans into play. We have our tendency to want to do our own thing and think, well, this is going to make me happy. This is going to make me successful. This is going to make me have peace. This is going to make me content. And it never happens. Because our hope is in something finite. It's not eternal. We get so caught up in the here and the now as far as, you know, got to have this, got to have this, but we don't get caught up in the what's going to happen in eternity if I don't follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Bible says you go to hell. Mm-hmm. Hey, there should be a little bit of fear in there. There should be a little something saying, hey, that's not cool. But when he says surrender, it's not so that we have to have a bad attitude and just do it anyway. No. It's so that when we do it, we're going to realize how much we couldn't have done without it. We can't do anything without God. We can't heal the sick. We can't raise the dead. We can't fight demons on our own. Read the Bible. Some people tried. Didn't end well at all. Had their butts handed to them. So when it says surrender, it's not saying give up. It's just saying surrender to me, not me, God. And I will give you the tools and the power you need to do the job you have to do. And not only that, I'm going to make things happen. You're not even going to have to do it. Guy showed up and put a gutter on the building. We needed it. We knew we needed it. We didn't have the money for it. But God says, hey, go help him out. He can do whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. It's awesome to see what God does. I needed this because yesterday I was just feeling a little bit down because, you know, things aren't where I want them to be. But God is saying, I have a plan and a purpose, and right now I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. Okay, because, you know, I'm thinking, well, I got to do this and that and the other thing. I want to make sure this church has what it needs, and I want to do this. And I. And I was like, wow, I can't. God can. And I had to say, okay, no more of this I stuff. God, you said you will. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stop. I'm going to trust you. And just to put this point right home, I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. And this has a little bit more to do with the church too as well, but likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. How many know that the church in America has a problem with this? There's a little bit of pride that likes to stick up and say, I don't want to submit. I don't want to be submissive. I don't want to hear what other people have to say to speak into my life. Ooh, they use the Bible. Oh, ew. Sorry. It's our job as Christians. Brothers, sisters, pastors, elders, prophets, it's our job to speak into each other's life. Well, might we be wrong once in a while? Yes. Is that okay? Yes. As long as it's addressed. But we have to get to a point where we're not so prideful that we can't take a little correction. And then it says, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God, what? Resists the proud. Me thinking I'm going to do everything myself? God isn't going to help me if I'm going to be that way. He's not going to step up to the plate if I'm the one standing at bat. He needs to be my pitch hitter. He can hit the ball farther than me. Step down and let him do his thing. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many are starting to get a little inkling that maybe, just maybe, we get in the way a lot of times? Just a little bit. I want one more verse. Can we do one more verse? Philippians. Philippians is a great book. And I love chapter 4. If you would, turn with me to verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the hardest part. Be anxious for nothing, but pray. A lot of times I think we misdiagnose anxiety as a burden to pray. No, for a burden to pray. No. When we feel that anxiety, it should be nothing more than a burden to pray. Does that make more sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't sound right. All right. So when we feel that worry, that anxiety, the first thing that should happen is we should be praying. That shouldn't be something telling us to fear. It should be telling us something that we need to pray. And we need to pray earnestly, and we need to pray until that burden lifts. This is also something that's missing in the church. That burden, that anxiety, is there for a purpose sometimes, and that is so that we dig in and fight a good fight and do an entire warfare. Okay? And sometimes that burden will pop back up. That thing will pop back up into our spirits and say, hey, this is, pray about it again. And pray about it again. Until that burden falls away, we need to keep praying. And I think sometimes we keep putting it off because, oh, well, it's just anxiety. God, take care of it. And that's all we do. No. Prayer and supplication is a lot more than God, take care of it. There's more involved there. And so I'd just like to challenge us a little bit. When it comes to that point of it, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. But you know. And I'm going to keep digging into this until you lift the burden from me, because this is something you want me to pray about. So now all of a sudden there's a little bit more in our part of what we need to do. But I truly believe that in the Christian walk we've gotten to the point where that anxiety is, I shouldn't feel anxiety. No, you should feel a burden. What do you do with it is what matters. Amen? All right. But going back to 1 Peter, sorry, there's this one thing that popped up. In verse 6 of chapter 5, it says, under the mighty hand of God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now that, number one, points out position. Number two, I want you to look at that verse and then realize what Jesus was praying over Jerusalem one time. And he says, oh, you evil people. He uses other words, several of them, to describe them. But he says, how I would have gathered you under my wings. But because of pride, because of you wanting to do things your own way. You see, the scribes and Pharisees of the time were looking for a Messiah, but they weren't looking for a carpenter to come along and die on a cross. They were looking for a king. They were looking for this conqueror to come in and just beat the Romans out of Israel and give them back their land, and then everything was just going to be awesome. That was their perception, but they weren't willing to look at what the prophecy said in Isaiah, and that he would come in a humble form, and that he was not going to come to take over the physical realm, but to give us power over the spiritual realm. And so because it didn't fit their narration, they rejected him. Their pride came in and said, oh, that can't be right. But because they wanted to do it in their own understanding, they could not be under the mighty hand of God. They could not have what they needed in order to continue on to the new covenant. Who wants to be like that? Just checking. Okay, good. We're all on the same page. That's excellent. So that's really what God put on my heart today. We need to stop thinking we're going to figure it out on our own. Do I think God can speak into our lives prophetically? Absolutely. Do I think that he can give us a little bit of light to show us the next step? Absolutely. But we need to stop thinking we know everything. And we need to stop acting like, well, everything's just falling apart. No, everything's going the way God wanted it to go. And as long as we're going to keep stepping forward and as long as we're going to keep being obedient, we need to know that he's going to take care of things. And it's not just this church. It's each and every one of our lives. How many know that God knows the numbers of the hairs of your head? So when a hair falls out of your head, it's not just that he notices a hair fall out of your head. He knows that that's hair 500,264, whatever. He knows the exact number of that hair. How many think God can figure out how things need to go? I think it's pretty important. Very important. Surrender. Biggest thing. Get out of the way. That's what he's saying. Get out of the way. It's my bat. You've been trying to bat the ball. My turn. I'm up to bat. I can hit it further every time. He's batting 1,000, y'all. He's batting 1,000. Not a 500. Not a 250. Somewhere in there is a pretty good baseball player. He's batting 1,000. 100% hit out of the park every time. Let's let him bat. Let's let him bat. All right. Lord God, help us. We have no idea, no clue how amazing it can be to surrender and let you take over. We try to do things our own way. We want to do things a certain way, thinking it's going to bring happiness, thinking it's going to bring peace, thinking it's going to bring security. But Lord God, it's finite. It's of ourselves. We need you in our lives. Hallelujah. We need you to take over. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we just right now, we repent of pride. We set ourselves aside, Lord God. We know that you have a plan and a purpose. The Bible says it. You've said it. You've spoken through the prophets. You've spoken to each one of us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we know there's a plan and a purpose. Help us to get out of the batter's box and to cheer you on. Help us, Lord God, to be where we need to be. Hallelujah, that we can do the things you have us to do. Help us, Lord God, to be obedient in surrendering ourselves and saying, God, what do you want of me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each one of us has a ministry. Each one of us has a call. It might not be to stand at a pulpit. It might not be to have a microphone, but it might be to scrub toilets. Hallelujah. A plumber could go around and do his job and people would just stand next to him and say, you are convicting me of sin. How much more can you work through us? Help us, Lord God, to find that. And even as we go from here today, Lord God, I pray right now that you would touch each and every heart, each and every mind. Hallelujah, that you would begin to move on us, Lord God, to step out of the way. Help us, Lord God, to be that kingdom mindset continually and throughout the day. Hallelujah, that we wouldn't falter, that we wouldn't be distracted. Help us, Lord God, that we would stand there and truly seek the kingdom of God. And as we go, protect each and every person. I pray traveling mercies around each and every vehicle. I pray angels around each and every person. And Lord God, even as we go from here, help us to have that hunger and that thirst to dig further into your word. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.